Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers. FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale pro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we rise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Hell no.
Yeah, let's go. United Front. Tahir RBG.
Yeah.
Let's go. I can't shake it loose. This the hate that hate produced. I'm here to break the noose and fight the devil. Ain't no truth. Raise it another level. Shame the devil. Say the truth. And look him in his eye when the enemy's facing you. I can't shake it loose. This the hate that hate produced. I'm here to break the noose and fight the devil. Ain't no truth. Raise it another level. Shame the devil. Say the truth. And look him in his eye when the enemy's facing you. You pink, pale skin beast. I hate your red, white, and blue. And crew cut clan sheep. I hate your president, your senate, and your campaign speech. I hate the British and the Romans and the goddamn Greek. It's no peace, yeah. Moral persuasion doesn't work with Caucasians. You speak his language through violence with guns blazing. So what I'm saying, negotiating with Satan, it's a waste of time. You out your African mind. Gonna make these devils pay for every single crime ever committed, crackers, you did it, now it's time to die. I sprayed a ratchet, I blatted, no moving backwards. I'm sending bullets at crackers and all faggots. Forward is the motion. Killing devils on different levels, concocting potions to stop them from encroaching. On our way of life, I got a knife to slit his throat quick. Get my people hyped, cause what I write is always dopeness focused. I can't shake it loose, this the hate produced. I'm here to break the noose and fight the devil, ain't no truth. Raise it another level, shame the devil, say the truth. And look him in his eye when the enemy's facing you. I can't shake it loose, this the hate produced.
This the hate you
I'm here to break the noose and fight the devil, ain't no
truth. I don't want your truth.
Raise it another level, shame the devil, say the truth. And look him in his eye when the enemy's facing you.
Take a step in my lane, I'm projecting the pain. Visions and pictures in my veins of us tortured and slain. So many sons and daughters slaughtered, some known and a name. Bringing my eye to the situation is why I came. I shake every pet nation, gon' exterminate. Marcus Garvey, Mugabe, politics, run them all away. KPI, type methodology, how the gods play. Try life and I don't play. Kill these crackers in broad day. Enter the scene, got them clean and watch me swerve out it. Big juju in my pocket, I ain't worried about it. That goes for grown-ups to babies. Salute my Baba Khaled, Muhammad, we solid. I call for violence, it's very valid. Yeah, murder these devils, it's divine order. We opposites, I reject the mixing like all the water. Africa for Africans, representing them world strong. I say shut them borders down and let us get a purge on.
I can't shake it loose, this the hate produced. I'm here to break the noose and fight the devil, ain't no truth. Raise it another level, shame the devil, say the truth. And look him in his eye when the enemy's facing you. I can't shake it loose, this the hate produced. I'm here to break the noose and fight the devil, ain't no truth. Raise it another level, shame the devil, say the truth. And look him in his eye when the enemy's facing you.
This ain't no kumbaya vibe, my yacht is a war shot. That's my war cry, double H fam, and it's wartime. Devils want it all, was peaceful coexistence. And to separation, he's violently resistant. Coupe tech, bullet car, hit the deck when bullets fly. The devil won't change, and needs to be euthanized. His stupidness, foolish minds, you will get, use your blind. Suicide, trusting this cracker is suicide. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you know the play. That peace talk is juvenile, and really don't hold no weight. Fighting hate with love sounds great in theory, but never, ever, ever work in history. Name one place that this cracker went. Name one place that this cracker left alone. I bet that they was war prone. Keep a piece in your wardrobe and know the world's a war zone.
I can't shake it loose, this the hate produced. I'm here to break the noose and fight the devil, ain't no truth. Raise it another level, shame the devil, say the truth. And look him in his eye when the enemy's facing you. I can't shake it loose, this the hate produced. I'm here to break the noose and fight the devil, ain't no truth. Raise it another level, shame the devil, say the truth. And look him in his eye when the enemy's facing you.
Well, the Stu Peters Show broke the first report of the content of these shots, specifically Pfizer, then AstraZeneca. And that Rumble video has now been seen well over a million times. I say that not as a pat on the back, and I'm not boasting. I'm actually thankful. I say that to illustrate that people really want to know what's being pushed into their bloodstream, what's being pushed throughout their bodies, how they're being misled. And we have actually kind of been forced to become our own medical investigators as we've come to the understanding that zombies in lab coats cannot be trusted, do not have our best interests in mind, do not consider our medical freedom to be of any concern or priority, and are willing to just arbitrarily jab anyone that walks or stumbles into their office or clinic. Well, today we're here to answer specific questions, and Dr. Ruby is here with another bombshell report. UK doctors now have indisputable proof showing exactly what these shots are doing to your blood. And she joins us now. Dr. Jane Ruby, thank you so much for being here. So there are many reports, Dr. Ruby, documented in VAERS. In my inbox, my DMs are flooded with questions. People are having jab remorse. They're feeling tired, weak, mentally clouded, dizzy. What are these shots doing to people's blood?
Well, Sue, this truly is a bombshell. This is the first that I've seen examination of blood under a regular microscope. These pictures come to us from Dr. Philippe Van Welbergen. He's a 40-year physician with experience in the UK, and he's taken it upon himself to take his patients who have come to him with complaints and illnesses from the jab that he does not recommend, and he's taken a look at their blood under a microscope in what's called a blood smear. Let me just share with the audience what a blood smear is. Your blood is taken like it normally is for any kind of analysis out of your arm, a vein, and into a tube, and then they take some of the blood, a bit of a sample, and they put it on a specially treated glass plate, and then they look at it under the microscope. What Dr. Van Welbergen has found, and he has shared these pictures, and I believe it's the first time we've seen them, is that I've provided a photo for us to look at to your producers. When you're looking at this particular picture, it is a side-by-side under same magnification under the microscope. On the left, you see healthy, normal blood from a person who has not been injected with any of these materials, any of these quote-unquote vaccines. And you see these are red blood cells. They're nice and round. They have a dark center that's very normal. There is good spacing between them. You don't see any debris or material. You don't see them clumping or with strange shapes. What you're seeing side by side on the right-hand side of your screen is the blood of a blood smear from a person who took one of the Moderna shots. And if you'll notice, before we get to those large gold tubular structures, if you notice on the blood cells compared to the healthy ones on the left, you see they're all crumpled, they're not nice and round, their nuclei, the middle portion looks destroyed, and they're starting to clump or aggregate to each other in a sticky fashion. Now the gold, he calls them, Dr. Van Welbergen calls those gold structures, tubes, that they, when he magnified them even further on the regular microscope, they are actually in a tube form, and he can see the opening on either end of those. Remember, this looks strikingly like the graphene oxide that we saw under the regular microscope from the Spanish researchers La Quinta Columna, where you saw that sort of folded over protein that looked like looked like it was under like a piece of Kleenex under paint. And that's what this is. He's going to investigate it further. The second picture you see, which is a picture alone, shows a great amount of these blood cells that have totally aggregated. They're not normal. There's no space between them. And then you see this large cell that is filled with these white dots. We believe this may very well be like a macrophage, some kind of a defensive white cell. And inside are these white tiny dots. What Dr. Van Welbergen said was that when he put a fluorescent light over this particular cell structure and saw these white dots light up. And this is incredibly stunning, incredibly frightening. I've also provided your producers with several other photos, which I hope you can run through for the audience's view, of other, mind you, each of these slides that I provided are from different patients in Dr. Welbergen's practice. All of them have the common trait that they did receive an injection, and they were all, in this particular batch, Moderna. So we're very, very concerned. Stu, this is why we know these shots, especially Pfizer and Moderna, are the cause for all these blood clots, which are causing the strokes, the heart attacks, the myocarditis, the weakness. In when it gets into the neurons, it's causing, you know, neuromuscular degenerative conditions likened to Guillain-Barré, and multiple sclerosis. So anyway, I wanted to bring this as soon as we could. These are analyses that you just can't get when you chemically analyze them. And I think it's important to know for people there is a reason why you are feeling sick.
Well, you know, we have been speculating that, I mean, there's obviously a reason why these people have blank inserts, blank leaflets. They don't want to tell you. They're vehemently denying any responsibility, any liability. Insurance won't cover you from, you know, people that get this, these Guillain-Barré or multiple sclerosis diagnoses, these people that are having these unexplainable tremors, this undeniable magnetism that's going on with people. People are not supposed to be magnetic. Then you brought to us this discovery about the graphene oxide. We were the first to talk about it, and I remember you telling me in a conversation that we had, candle, just for full transparency here, that you feel like you're in a room alone. You're on an island. Now, look, everybody is starting to talk about this graphene oxide. I talked yesterday with Dr. Judy Mikovits. We have heard Dr. Meehan with Clay Clark on the Thrive Time show and several other doctors that I have since seen that are acknowledging, yes, they believe in the validity of the Spanish researchers, La Quinta Columna. They have seen the chain of custody, so they believe this to be absolutely accurate. Now you're showing indisputable proof of these images underneath a microscope exactly what this is doing to one's blood. This has to stop right now. I mean, what is it going to take? Now, I know that you can't opine on that because you're obviously, you know, responsible with your reporting. You're a medical expert and you're here in that capacity, but I'm asking the audience the question, what is it going to take? We have to, this video here now should also soar to well over a million as you are doing your job out there by sharing this around with people as we are being banned and deplatformed. I'm suspended from Twitter again for another week. Dr. Jane, I don't know if you knew that or not. And it was so weak this time, just completely ridiculous. All I did was post a story about people in North Carolina that are going door to door trying to jab people. They're looking very efficient with their masks on, clipboards, jackets, representing the government, and that is who they are, and that is what's going on. That is a matter of fact. They are trying to jab people with this substance that we have now proven to contain graphene oxide, which is a toxic poison for humans, not approved for humans, according to our own government health agencies, and now we're showing indisputable evidence, proof of what this is doing to one's blood. These are dangerous shots being falsely referred to as vaccines, and they're trying to push them into the kids of your the blood of your kids. It's absolutely insane.
Yes, Stu. I mean, it doesn't even...
Yes, and welcome to Keeping Line News. I am your combat reporter, Brother Tutmo Sankara, and when you understand what you just heard, those who've been tuned in to NBPP Radio, heard the broadcast of the doctors commenting on the coronavirus. But what I'm going to do this evening for the family, once again, welcome to our Keeping Our News with your combat reporter, Brother Tutmo Sankara. And this evening, what we'll do is we're going to recount this medical apartheid history of the United States. And just take a look at it. We're not going to argue a debate back and forth about the validity of whatever decision one decides to make in regards to their personal health. But what we'll do is we'll just look at the history of exploitation medically in the African community across the world, right? And so what we'll do is we'll look at it from a broad-based perspective, and we'll go to the continent to begin. And not very long ago, the Pfizer drug, Trovan, many of you may have heard of it. The lawsuit, the famous lawsuit, Abdullahi versus Pfizer Incorporated, is the precedented legal case for you legal eagles out there who like to study this type of stuff. Abdullahi versus Pfizer Incorporated. But the Pfizer drug Trovan was used in a clinical trial in Kano, Nigeria. The trial compared the new antibiotic Trovan against the best treatable available at the time, against the best treatment available at the time, which was intravenous ciftriazine. 11 children died in the trial, 5 after taking Trovan and 6 after taking an older antibiotic used for comparison in the clinical trial. So both of them were poisoned. Others suffered blindness, deafness, and brain damage, the cause of which is difficult to determine because these disabilities are relatively common outcomes of the disease itself. A panel of medical experts later implicated Pfizer in the incident, concluding the drug had been administered as part of an illegal clinical trial without authorization from the Nigerian government or consent from the children's parents. This led to a lawsuit from the Nigerian government over informed consent. Pfizer countered that it met all the necessary regulations. The drug was approved for general use in the U.S., but eventually withdrawn due to hepatotoxicity. Of the blood. Poisonous to the blood, right? So this case of the Nigerian government, Abdullahi versus Pfizer, is one to study for those who may be listening on the continent or may have people that may have been affected by the trials of this drug in the 90s. It wasn't that long ago in Kano, Nigeria. Also, in our revolutionary Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe, as I know from prior study, was one of the centers where the AIDS virus was focused to be able to be proliferated across the continent. Of course, if you want to kill some Africans and you don't want nobody around to try to fight imperialism, then Zimbabwe is probably the place you want to go, you know. And so in the 90s also, the HIV AIDS, of course, we remember the use of AZT, which was deadly in itself. And so the trials of this particular drug took place in Zimbabwe, conducted on HIV-positive African subjects by U.S. physicians and the University of Zimbabwe were performed without prior informed consent. The United States began testing AZT treatments in Africa in 1994. The project funded by the Centers for Disease Control, the WHO, World Health Organization, and the National Institutes of Health. God, that was coming every which way. American, European, every which way, right? It included in testing of over 17,000 women for a medication that prevents mother-to-child transmission of HIV/AIDS, trying to stop the children from having it, right? You can hear the story. The subject did not fully understand the testing method, the effectiveness, the possible dangers, or the nature of a placebo in testing situations. They were also told about the trial under duress. Half of these women received a placebo that had no effect, making transmission likely. As a result, an estimated 1,000 babies contracted HIV/AIDS, although a proven life-saving regimen already existed. The CDC ended the short course testing in 98 after they announced they had enough information from Thailand trials. You often hear that when you get caught in Africa, then they'll try to move it over there to the Asian, to the brown skin. Can you get black skin? Go for dark skin. Forced sexual reassignment in South Africa, and I remember this. This was a thing that got a lot of reporting prior and that I had heard about before. And by studying the Truth and Reconciliation hearings of South Africa, but forced sexual reassignment in South Africa in the 70s and 80s in a project headed by Aubrey Levin, AUBREYLEVIN, during the 70s to 80s, the South African Defense Force forced lesbian and gay military personnel to undergo sex change operations. This was part of a secret program to purge homosexuality in the army. It included psychological coercion, chemical put castration, chemical castration, electrical shock, and other unethical medical experiments. An estimated 900 forced sexual reassignment operations may have been performed between 1971 and 1989 at military hospitals. Most of the victims were male, young, 16 to 24-year-old, white, 16 to 24, who were drafted into the Army during the South African Border War. Women were also subjected to the experimentation. So that's very important. You look at the history of the United States said, don't ask, don't tell, right? They said, well, South Africa, these classes, they say, hey, all right, well, we're going to, oh, you want to be a woman? All right, we're going to make you a woman and change through surgery those people's sexual assignment. Wow. Forced contraception in Zimbabwe also. So if you can't get Zimbabwe with the AIDS, come back with the sterilization, right? You can't get them with Robert Gallo, you come back with Margaret Sanger. Right? Depo-provera. I know the word is familiar. We've all heard it, you know, probably if you're above 40 or whatever. Depo-provera was clinically tested on black Rhodesian Zimbabwean women in the 70s. Once approved, the drug was used as a birth control measure. Women on white-run commercial farms were coerced into accepting Depo-provera. Not only on white farms in Rhodesia, but African sisters in Chicago and New York and Atlanta and Memphis and New Orleans too, right? But the clinical trial took place in Zimbabwe. In 81, the drug was banned in what was then Zimbabwe, but they were still using it here. Going on around the continent, down there still, we still down Southern Africa, right? You got to talk about the Germans when you're talking about medical experimentation and all that, right? You got to talk about Hitler and them. But before his time even, he just inherited that murderous heritage. And in Namibia, of course, many know of the full experimentation on the people of Namibia. And if you study that region well, you know of the full extermination of African peoples, African tribes, nations there, particularly the sand people, the desert dwellers. Complete elimination. That's the Germans, right? But if they, the ones they didn't want to kill physically, they made sure through experimentation and medical apartheid that there would be no regeneration of that population. Eugene Fisher. Eugene, just take the E off at the end, Fisher, conducted sterilization experiments on Herero women in German Southwest Africa, now Namibia, of course, in the early 1900s. His experimentation was largely done on mixed-race offspring in order to provide justification to ban mixed-race marriage. He joined the Nazi Party thereafter, where he did similar experiments in the Jewish concentration camps. That is practiced in Africa, right? Late stage studies were later continued by Dr. Hans Harmsen, H-A-R-M-S-E-N, founder of the German branch of the International Planned Parenthood Federation, which is also associated with the compulsory sterilization in Nazi Germany. Do you see this link? First to the continent, to the large population of African people, then to you, right here in Turtle Islands, right? Hey, do study the large population. You know how they do it with the lab rats. You get the general population of them, right? Do a large experiment. Then you get a focus group and then you get to pick between the populations and then get into the biological experimentation to understand the melanin and the degree of African biological superiority to try to find each and every method to break that down. That is the goal of the white supremacists. And so we see these experiments. We're looking at Namibia now. We see Zimbabwe. We see South Africa. We see Nigeria, right? These were the biggest programs. Nigeria, you got to get Nigeria because they the biggest population of Africans on the continent, right? But as you get through West Africa, then you start concentrating down Southern Africa. You got to ask yourself why, don't you? Have to ask yourself why. Is it a coincidence that the most liberation on the continent has been delivered from Southern Africa? Angola, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Tanzania, right? Is it a coincidence that the focus of the medical experimentation internationally on the continent of Africa recently, Germany with Namibia was early 1900s. And we know there are more. We're talking about coming up to Bill Gates and all this. We're talking about massive, talking about international campaigns, no inoculation campaigns, smallpox. Right? But looking at the numbers and the degree, like we're saying about in South Africa, just took 1,000 folks and just did. And then look at the transfer of the technology in this medical apartheid, medical biological experimentation regime from South Africa to the United States. That's how important it is as Africans in the United States to what it is that we're dealing with, because, like I'm saying, they use the larger population of Africans on the continent for these experiments, and then they bring it to you. They stopped giving out Depo-Provera in Zimbabwe, and they were still doing it here in the United States. So look at the plan of white supremacy medically, biologically, in regards to the genocide against African people that is occurring, in the degree that these things are practiced specifically to break down the immune system and to experiment on degrees of breaking down the immune system prior to what it is that we're dealing with now. You know, the cold word stuff. We ain't gonna even say what it is, right? Because we're just concentrating on the history. But I want to throw a name out to you. Actually, if you ever heard it before. Henry Ida Lacks. You ever heard that name before? Henry Ida Lacks, a beautiful sister. That picture they have of her, that one picture that they always publicize. There are more. I've seen others. But Henrietta Lack, born August 1st, 1920, expired October 4th, 1951, was a sister whose cancer cells are the source of the HeLa cell line, capital H-E, capital L-A. The first immortalized human cell line and one of the most important cell lines in medical research. An immortalized cell line reproduces indefinitely under specific conditions. And the HeLa cell line continues to be a source of invaluable medical data to the present day. Queen's sister was the unwitting victim of cells, not only organ trafficking, but cell trafficking. The very essence of this woman was capitalized upon by the medical science community and proliferated across the world. Well, even until today, all cancer research is based upon these HeLa cells of Henrietta Lacks. You get it? Henrietta, A-T, Lacks, L-A. It's a Frankensteinian experience to be an African anywhere in the world under the right conditions, under the government programs of medical experimentation for profit for ultimately the pharmaceutical company. They're the ones who triumph upon this. But back to Mama Henrietta. In 1951 in Baltimore, Maryland, at the diabolical John Hopkins Hospital, Mama Henrietta was the unwitting source of the cells from a tumor biopsy during treatment for cervical cancer, as was then the practice. No consent was required to culture the cells obtained from Lack treatment. Consistent with contemporary standards, neither she nor her family were compensated for their extraction or use. Even though some information about the origin of HeLa's immortalized cell lines was known to researchers after 1970, the Lacks family was not made aware of the line's existence until 1975, with knowledge of the cell line's genetic provenance becoming public. Its use for medical research and for commercial purposes continues to raise concerns about privacy and patients' rights. So you're looking at Mama Henrietta, and she is immortal, and her life and her history has been used as the basis for medical experimentation for a disease. They're using that woman's cells, and they know how to cure it, but they still won't do it because, of course, that means that you can't make any more money off of cancer because now they just take a pill, do a treatment, and it's gone. And so understand the degree to Mama Henrietta. But I want to go on about her because I want you to know her. Henrietta Lack. Actually, right, she was born Loretta Pleasant. You know, back in the day, how we do. But Mama Lack was born Loretta Pleasant on August 1st, 1920 in Roanoke, Virginia, to Eliza Pleasant and Johnny Randall Pleasant. She is remembered as having hazel eyes, a small waist, size 6 shoes, and always wearing red nail polish and a neatly pleated skirt. Her family is uncertain how her name changed from Loretta to Henrietta, but she was nicknamed Henny. When Lack was 4 years old in 1924, her mother died giving birth to her 10th child. Unable to care for the children alone after his wife's death, Lack's father moved the family to Clover, Virginia, where the children were distributed among relatives. Lacks ended up with her maternal grandmother, Tommy Henry Lacks, in a two-story log cabin that was once the slave quarters on the plantation that had been owned by Henrietta's white great-grandfather and great-uncle. She shared a room with her 9-year-old first cousin and future husband, David Day Lacks. Right? Y'all know how they do back in the day. Like most members of her family in Clover, Lacks worked as a tobacco farmer starting from an early age. She fed the animals, tended the garden, and toiled in the tobacco field. She attended the designated black school 2 miles away from the cabin until she had to drop out to help support the family in the sixth grade. Read the book, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. And that is because I'm listening to the details, and I'm remembering from reading the book, awesome book. In 1935, when Lax was 14 years old, she gave birth to a son, Lawrence Lax. In 1939, her daughter, Elsie Lax, was born. Both children were fathered by Dave Lax. Elsie had epilepsy and cerebral palsy and was described by the family as different or deaf and dumb. On April 10, 41, David Day Lax and Henry Allen Lax were married in Halifax, Virginia. Later that year, their cousin, Fred Garrett, convinced the couple to leave the tobacco farm in Virginia and move to Turner Station near Dundalk, Maryland, in Baltimore County. And so, with that move, now, they moved down here to this area. So that's how they get down here towards Johns Hopkins. So let me get to the diagnosis and treatment. On January 29, 1951, Lax went to Johns Hopkins, the only hospital in the area that treated black patients, because she felt a knot in her womb. She had previously told her cousin about the knot, and they had assumed correctly that she was pregnant. But after giving birth to Joseph, Lax had a severe hemorrhage. Her primary care doctor tested her for syphilis, which came back negative, and referred her back to Johns Hopkins. There, her doctor, Howard W. Jones, took a biopsy of a mass found on Lax's cervix for laboratory testing. Soon after, Lax was told that she had a malignant epidermoid sarcoma of the cervix. Epidermoid sarcoma of the cervix. In 1970, physicians discovered that she had been misdiagnosed and actually had adenosarcoma. Remember those words. When you get into the book, you start to see what the biological and medical mistakes that were made in regard to the diagnosis of Mama Lax. As it says here, this was a common mistake at the time, and the treatment would not have differed. Lax was treated with radium tube inserts. Radium, radiation. Well, remember that. As an inpatient and discharged a few days later with instructions to return for x-ray treatment as a follow-up. During her treatment, two samples were taken from Lax cervix without her permission or knowledge. One sample was of healthy tissue and the other was cancerous. These samples were given to George Otto Gie, G-E-Y, George Otto Gie. Sounds German, don't it? A physician and cancer researcher at Johns Hopkins. The cells from the cancerous sample eventually became known as the HeLa immortal cell line, a commonly used cell line in contemporary biomedical research. On August 8, 1951, Lax, who was 31 years old, went to Johns Hopkins for a routine treatment session and asked to be admitted due to a continued severe abdominal pain. She received blood transfusions and remained at the hospital until her death on October 4, 1951. A partial autopsy showed that the cancer had metastasized through her entire body. Lax was buried in an unmarked grave in her family cemetery in a place called Laxtown in Halifax County, Virginia. Laxtown is the name that was given to the land in Clover, Virginia that was originally owned by slave-owning members of the Lax family in the antebellum South. Buried in the town in an unmarked grave with a town named after her, and her cells spread all over the world. I tell you, we are living in a nightmare incomparable to any existence in the history of any people ever in the universe. But let's bring it on back home, right? Irradiation experiment here in your good old United States, all right? Between 1960 and 1971, the Department of Defense funded non-consensual whole-body radiation experiments on mostly poor and black cancer patients who were not told what was done to them. Patients were told that they were receiving a treatment that might cure their cancer, but the Pentagon was trying to determine the effects of high levels of radiation on their body. One of the doctors involved in the experiment was worried about litigation by the patients. He referred to them only by their initials on the medical reports. He did this so that, in his words, there will be no means by which the patients can ever connect themselves up with the report to prevent either adverse publicity or litigation. From 1960 to 1971, Dr. Eugene Sanger, you ever heard this guy's name? Funded by the Defense Atomic Support Agency, performed a whole body radiation experiment on more than 94 black in advanced stage cancer patients with inoperable tumors at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center. These are called the, if you want to research these, you can Wikipedia them. They are called the Cincinnati Radiation Experiment. South syphilis or something, huh? He forged consent forms and did not inform, of course, the patients of the risk of this radiation. The patient was given 100 or more rags, 1 GY, of whole body radiation. Good God, if you know what that is. It's a million microwaves. 100 or more rads of whole body radiation, which in many caused intense pain and vomiting. It's like, soon as they hit this right then. Of course, the rationale, there's no rationale for this. We talk about Frankenstein, right? Talking about old Frank. He ain't just gonna take you and take your organs out and dish them out to whoever got the most money. Trying to figure out how this nuclear stuff works. What if we put a whole African in this nuclear room? Let's microwave these Africans, right? 100 rats. Good God. Of course, this history of what it is that we're talking about here, it didn't begin there. Remember Marie Curie? She studied nuclear research, radiation research. You go back to these white folks, her husband, they kill themselves with radiation. These people don't care. They'll kill themselves to try to, what do you think they think of you? Right? From 1963 to 1973, a leading endocrinologist, Dr. Carl Heller, irradiated the testicles of Oregon and Washington prisoners. Carl Heller. Hell of a guy, right? In return for their participation, he gave them $5 a month and $100 when they had to have a vasectomy upon conclusion of the trial. Oh, man, look, they had to cut them off? I'll give you $100. Pure evil. Carl Heller. Dr. Carl Heller. 1963 to 1973, state of Oregon and Washington. $5 a month to participate in it, and $100 when they got to cut everything off. The surgeon who sterilized the men said it was necessary to keep them from contaminating the men, the general population, with radiation-induced mutants. Don't want to be putting no radiated mutants out there, you know, fried and testicles and experimenting all kind of waiting, all right? Dr. Joseph Hamilton, one of the researchers who had worked with Heller on the experiment, said the experiment had a little bit of Buchenwald touch. a little touch of Buchenwald. You know what Buchenwald there in Germany? A touch of Buchenwald. You know, touch of Buchenwald. The Germans were born out of the United States. The United States is Germany's big brother. Germany ain't never had access to the number of Africans that United States doing all the experiments they did on them. Quit putting that on Hitler now. Need a little brother in this. 1963, University of Washington researchers irradiated the testicles of 232 prisoners to determine the effect of radiation on testicular function. Let's see if you can work them things, y'all, boy. Y'all got them big things and all. Let's see if you can work them with, them, you know, with these nukes in them, you know. This man is devil incarnate. You don't need to ask no questions. Just pure. Just act and tell it. If you don't turn your will, turn your eyes away from the reality. Because, hey, you know, I don't want to hurt nobody. I don't want, you know. Once again, as I often say, if you're not in an organization in the struggle towards liberation of your people, you're against your people. You got to get on the right side of things. Ain't nobody going to hunt you down. We ain't trying to berate you and all of that, but just know that. They're putting radiation to people's whole bodies. Is there any other reason in the world to just go all out against them? When these inmates later left the prison, once again, in 1963, the University of Washington researchers irradiated. University of Washington, they're in a college, getting prisoners and irradiating their testicles. They go next. 232 of them. Just to determine the effects of what the radiation is going to do, right? When the inmates left, when they got out of prison and had children, at least four of them had offspring born with birth defects. The exact number you don't know because they didn't follow that up, right? It did what it did. What they found out. The rest of them, it was whatever. The diabolicalness of capitalism, U.S. imperialism, the race to find how to cure something just to put it out of the market. Copyright it, put it off the market so nobody can use it. And by any means, irradiating people, cutting off their testicles, putting radiation in their brains, shooting syphilis in them, whatever it is you got to do to make money for the pharmacy. Because health and living, as long as you can control that, you can control the whole world. Oh, and I ain't talking about nothing that was going on today by no pandemic or nothing. We're just taking a little walk down Frankenstein history. Jesus, this stuff is crazy. I bet there's some aliens somewhere in outer space that's looking down here like, good God almighty, them people experiment on these people. They doing whatever they want to do. They got the whole world off them. It's like, my God. And maybe some little young officer is like, well, let me go help them. And the big guy's like, no, don't take your ass down there. Don't you go down there. Like, why? Because them people ain't going to fight. Look at them. They know what they're doing. Why are they letting it happen? I can't risk us. You're more valuable than that. Until the knowledge and the consciousness of what has actually happened to you strikes your spirit, strikes your heart, strikes your soul to the point where you take in the information and it quickens your spirit and your consciousness to the point where the loyalty to yourself is what is most valuable. And go back to our teachings. African holistic health, heal thyself, Nutrisign, Dr. Sebi's herbal formula, all of Dr. Paul Gauss, and all of the greats, Go back to ourselves. Go back to what it is that we had learned before we caught this cognitive dissonance behind this worldwide biological experiment that is occurring before us. It's no doubt that it is a biological experiment. I'm not even going to go and recount all of the evidences that there is of it. We ain't even here for that tonight. I'm just trying to run it down to you, right? Let me give you one more. From approximately 1951 to 1974, the Holmesburg Prison in Pennsylvania, with some of the comrades been there, I know Rosa Maroon had formerly been there before, was the extent of extensive dermatological research operation using prisoners as subjects, led by Dr. Albert M. Kligman of the University of Pennsylvania. The studies were performed on behalf of Dow Chemical Company, the U.S. Army, and Johnson & Johnson. Dow Chemical wanted to study the health effects of dioxin and other herbicides to discover how they affect human skin. Because workers at the chemical plants were developing chloracne. In the study, Kligman applied about the same amount of dioxin as that to which the employees were being exposed. In 1980 and 1981, some of the people were used in this study sued Professor Kligman because they were suffering from a variety of health problems, including lupus and psychological damage. Kligman later continued his dioxin study, increasing the doses of dioxin, which he applied to the skin of 10 prisoners, to 7,500 micrograms of dioxin, which is 468 times the dosage that the Dow Chemical official Gerald K. Rowe had authorized him to administer. As a result, the prisoners developed inflammatory pustules and popples. The Holmesburg program paid hundreds of inmates a nominal stipend to test the wide range of cosmetic products and chemical compounds whose effects were unknown at the time. Upon his arrival at Holmesburg, Kligman is claimed to have said, "All I saw before me were acres of skin. It was like a farmer seeing a fertile field for the first time." A 1964 issue of Medical News reported that 9 out of 10 prisoners at Holmesburg Prison were medical test subjects. In 1967, the U.S. Army paid Kligman to apply skin blistering chemicals to the faces and backs of inmates at Holmesburg. In Kligman's words, "to learn how the skin protects itself against chronic assault from toxic chemicals, the so-called hardening process." Pure evil. And we ain't even going into no psychological experiments, ain't no MK Ultra, none of that stuff. Right? We're talking about the chemical and pharmaceutical and biological experimentation of people for the capitalistic endeavor of acquiring funds to keep any life. The main goal is to keep any life-saving serums, compounds, healing modicums away from the human population so as to control it, to copyright it, put it to the side, and then give you what it is that's going to kill you, to carry out those plans that your good old boy Bill Gates was talking about. Let's say eliminating, what, 90% of the planet? They too greedy. They want too much. You old greedy old Africans out there. You ain't going to take that little piece of ghetto, little cement building I gave you to live in, you know, with barely any water and all that. You don't know, you keep talking stuff. I tell you what, the devil incarnate, the struggle for the liberation of African people is nigh. Yep, he's right here. is right in your body. Whether your immune system is able to take the assault of the, even if you don't take the jab of the environment, you can still fall victim to it. It's like some kind of herbal war. Some environmental herbal war. If you can get through the matrix and find the mystery and get to your natural self, you may survive. If not, we told you. And next week, me and Queen Sister Crystal Muhammad will be following up this information. We'll be honing in on exactly what it is that we're going through so that we may begin to get ourselves organized for how we need to be moving and grooving. Because now is the time. This has been your combat reporter, Brother Tutmosis Sankara, here on Al Kibalon News. And remember, as always, African people, stay vigilant.
Black Power, Black Power, Brother Tutmosis. We have several callers that are on right now. This is your time to press 1. Press 1 to get into tonight's discussion. Press 1. I do see that we have our Minister of Culture on the line. Let me give a quick mic check to Brother Greg, the Minister of Culture, Black Power.
Black Power!
Black Power!
Black Power. One more time.
Black Power!
Black Power!
Black Power. I know you got to do it for a third time, the charm.
Black Power!
Black Power!
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. A lot of information, Brother Tutmosis, laid out, given the history of medical murder, a history of medical murder.
Across the globe.
Yeah, Black Power, definitely a lot of great information. I mean, digging in, you know, to that history of it. It's nothing new, and you know, I mean, we have so much information put out there that you know, it's not that it shouldn't be that difficult for a lot of people to understand that this is just it's nothing new that they're doing. It's ongoing. You know, if they'll do it to their own people, you know damn well, you know, they'll do it to us, you know, and anybody else. And I think that's something that is you know, it's really, really, really important to understand, is that to accomplish and achieve a lot of the things that they are set out to accomplish and achieve, you know, there are no limits that they would go to, you know. But this history of just listening and hearing it broken down, you know, I hope is eye-opening to a lot of people, you know. But for many of us who know it, that has been going on for forever, you know, we just need to continue, again, to push this information just as hard as they are pushing, you know, their agenda, their propaganda. You know, we need to continue to go toe-to-toe, you know, with them. You know, this is not, you know, something that should be taken lightly, because, you know, people are, you know, dying and suffering because of their tactics. And, you know, we just can't, you know, let up, you know, at all. Black Power.
Black Power, comrade.
Yes, power. Yes, no doubt. This attack is a global attack by the globalists. We are currently undergoing the worst biological human experiment on the masses of the people on the planet Earth. You know, this vaccine campaign. This vaccine campaign, which is, you know, the follow-up of the biological unleashing of this COVID virus is not a natural phenomenon in any shape, form, or fashion. The same schemers are at play. The NIH, which is the National Institute of Health that Fauci has been spearheading for decades, the WHO, the CDC, have all been conspirators in these medical murders that have been taking place in Africa, in the prisons, and it always has been a concentration on black people. Let's not be twisted about what's going on here. As we speak, this whole vaccine campaign is a mass medical experiment. This is not a vaccine that you are taking, that people are taking. This is, what is it called? DNA gene therapy. It's RNA, retrovirus and retrovirus warfare being launched on the people. And we have tons and tons of information on that. You're getting ready to say something, Brother Tutmos.
Yes. To Brother Greg, to comment off of what he was saying, bro, I mean, and Sister Crystal, I can go for days with this, with the information. I just, you know how I am. I'm just an information junkie. So I went, this is so much stuff. My God. The atom bomb experiments on our people in the Wake Islands, the melanin experiments in South Africa. I just touched on Southern Africa. I didn't even go all the way in on that. You know, in Europe, all over. I'm starting to understand that this is kind of the central genocidal episode that is occurring, is more so than police murders, more than the outright killing of our people, is the harvesting and experimentation of our people across the planet.
Yeah, it's the passive warfare. It's the passive warfare. You know, unfortunately, the vast majority of the people are not aware of what's going on. The vast majority of the people, what we're saying is not only new, they don't believe it. Those of us who are awakened, we are aware, you know, what they say, only maybe 5% of the people are awakened, 5 to 15%. The majority of the, you know, 10% being the ones who are perpetrating this against us are aware. But 85%, that means the majority of the people have no clue. Sheep's being led to the slaughter. As Mama laid out last night, you have individuals who get paid, you know, who think in their mind, you know, we played it several times, Dr. Christina Parks, and she did the science, she did the research. The majority of the people who don't fall for the madness or those who are quote-unquote high school educated, And those who are PhDs, those in the middle class, the ones who got the so-called degrees, the ones who believe in the system, they fall for a hook, line, and sinker because they are robots to a certain extent. You know, they believe what the cracker says. Just let it be known. Although the information is put out that, you know, Dr. Fauci and these other wicked scientists created this virus, tested it on the virus. In fact, this this particular strain of coronavirus, this gain of use function of viruses, this program was shut down in 2012 by the Obama administration. After folks were affected at not only Fort Detrick, but people at the Pentagon were affected. This is not anything that we're making up. Look it up. Look up Dr. Libra at Harvard University. In 2012, the Obama administration shut down the NIH's program on this biological weapon that they were developing at Fort Detrick. And it spilled some of the components of the disease spilled over and people died and were affected by it, not only at Fort Detrick, but also people at the Department of Defense at the Pentagon. And it was shut down. This is why it was moved to Wuhan. It was shut down in 2012 from the United States, and then NIH, they moved it to Wuhan. And it was also being there were other other satellite experiments taking place at Harvard University under Charles Lieber, who was arrested in 2020.
It was also in the Chinese military, woman.
Okay, and then it was also this experiment was taking place at Johns Hopkins. Well, Johns Hopkins were their component. I'm talking about this is up until 2019. There was a presentation at Johns Hopkins when all of the, a good majority of the elected officials, CEOs, were brought into a symposium spearheaded by Johns Hopkins and the Bill Gates, where they explained that this virus was about to unleash. And they did the numbers on how it was going to affect and how they would preemptively start dealing with it and rolling it out. This is why in 2019 you saw all of those a vast majority of these corporate heads pull out of their sell their stocks in their agencies because they knew this was not only going to affect the mass of the people physically, but it was going to affect the economy, which is the reason why we have this financial collapse that we're dealing with now. People knew ahead of time. This is a part of the globalists. We talked about, we've heard people speak for years, if you are conscious, you know, and again, a lot of people are not conscious or just coming to their consciousness. This may be new to you, but the global elites have been working for this one world order, and we're seeing this one world order play into effect. It is not just the United States. It is European countries. It is all of the countries that were part of and the corporations that were part of the Trilateral Commission. See, this concept of eliminating two-thirds of the population was first exposed to us by whistleblowers who spoke on, what's that guy named, the Bilderbergs. And Zubrinsky said that they needed to eliminate two-thirds of the population. It is no coincidence that all of these same companies, G20 nations, were all a part of this. We are not talking about pie in the sky or just spooky people. We can narrow down to individual corporations, individual medical facilities, individual other enterprises, governments meaning individuals in office of these governments that are aware and were aware of what is taking place here. Is it a coincidence that, remember, before this coronavirus hit, remember we were seeing on the news how the masses of the people were storming the government buildings in China?
Right.
There were demonstrations going on all across France and Europe, here in America, South America. The masses of the people were rising up against the wealth gap, were rising up against the injustice, were rising up against all kind of corruption. So, boom, they dropped this bomb on us. Let me go back, and I'm talking about a bomb of a biological weapon. Johns Hopkins University. Look up. The same experimentation was taking place at University of Chapel Hill in North Carolina. What was the other location? Tulane University in New Orleans. This biological weapon.
All over. University of Georgia. I got stuff from them.
Come on.
All these southern. Alabama. Ole Miss, all of them.
Right, and why is it? Let's just use common sense.
They got a large black population that's poor and destitute.
with such a medical emergency going on, why aren't there emergency medical symposiums going on state to state and nationwide? Why are so many doctors being silenced? There are thousands of doctors that are being silenced. Do you guys know that last week it came out that guess who one of the head people at Twitter that runs Twitter? Dr. Fauci's daughter. Dr. Fauci's daughter. Is that a coincidence that people Twitter's accounts are getting shut down? And Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, there is a information, YouTube information is being censored. Dr. Aleem and the Your Immunity Project, they've been censored off of YouTube, off of Instagram, off of Facebook. They play a Zoom. We tune into the Zoom call, but they can't do a Facebook Live. You have hundreds of doctors. There's a website I keep referring to, that the clip that Tutmos had me play at the beginning of this program was from Dr. Ruby, Dr. Judy Ruby. I'm going to make sure I got her name right. And they are a part of a group called Doctors for COVID Ethics. And there are a host of doctors, scientists, virologists, neurologists, pathologists, you name it, not just here in America, but across the globe that are speaking out, and they are being censored and shut down. We should wonder why. We should not only wonder why. Why are, you know, folks are so busy trying to survive and afraid that even when information comes out that proves that this is not even a vaccine, that it's helping people. People are literally catching the COVID after they've got one booster shot and two booster shots, and now it is mutating. Common sense would say if something was one way and then they start putting out these vaccines and it's mutating, now you have another variant. Common sense would say that it's coming from this vaccine, right? I mean,
right.
I would just think common sense.
Common sense.
And the question is, as my buddy said, go ahead.
I wanted to, and for those who are tuned in to New Black Panther Party Radio, I just want to let y'all know that y'all get the exclusive on Al Kivalon News. The rest of the community, they get the report. And then at 9 o'clock, that thing shut down, and our combat reporter signing out. But you who are tuned in to New Black Panther Party Radio, you get the commentary, you get the follow-up, you get this focused information, because I know them folk y'all out there, y'all with the real for real. So I rocks with you after hours. And what I want to do is share another story of medical apartheid with you. On September 11th, 1977, Gaspar Yagen, a 68-year-old retired auto mechanic, vanished. His sister, Pearly Smith, with whom he lived, contacted a police officer in Washington, D.C., missing persons unit, and provided the photograph he requested. He said he would be back, but I didn't hear anything, Smith said. So for more than a month, Smith, Yagen's niece, Minnie Champ, and other family members made relentless inquiries to the police department of the 5th District Station House. The police made other errors. First of all, he visited them again and made several phone calls, which revealed that his original report had never been filed. The police made other errors as well. The police had never personally checked the emergency rooms, and the missing persons unit had not followed procedure. By the time they checked Yeager's description against a list of recently deceased unidentified patients, this is what had happened. When police did so, they finally found Yeager's body on a slab in an anatomy laboratory at Howard University Medical School, where he was on the verge of being dissected by students. While his family had searched for him and repeatedly called police, he had lain unconscious in the hospital. When he died on November 3rd, his remains were sent to the medical examiner's office through some lottery or something. They decided to award his body to one of the medical schools, and it wound up at Howard. Dr. Linwood Rayford, then the school's assistant medical director, told the Washington Post on January 4, 1978, police used fingerprints to identify Yeager. Rayford's forthright allusion to the misplaced patient and cadaver lottery is troubling enough, but Champ nursed an even darker view of the affair. She told the Post her uncle had been found up in the lab, you know, and they were making experiments. We're not making any, quote, experiments, Dr. Rayford dryly demurred. Champ found it difficult to believe the hospital had made good faith error, but it did not help that the hospital, which insisted Yeager had died of natural causes, was unable to tell his family from what illness he had suffered. Also, Yeager's pockets had contained the name and telephone number of a nephew, yet this man had never been called. This is an ongoing and continuing genocidal episode that must be brought to the forefront of the African liberation struggle as a reason for all-out war. The sterilization of our women, affecting our children, the immunization before the coronavirus, which caused autism in our children, the ongoing medical neglect of our elders, and an ongoing underground transmission of African flesh by the United States medical system. This is what we're dealing with. This is 100 years from now, when we are completely liberated, when our children look back on what African people went through in the United States, when they dig through the records, when they get the computer files, when they read through them with their genius little minds, and realize what it is that we're doing and what we're fighting against, it will cause a fervor in them that will drive them towards, as Dr. Collett said, like, right, Sister Crystal? Yeah, they will start killing until their souls are satisfied.
We have a caller here, 254 area code. 254, what is your question and a comment? What city are you calling from and what is your name?
Hey, how you doing? My name is Alameen. I'm calling out of Killeen, Texas.
All right, brother Alameen.
Salute, comrade. Black power.
Oh, my brother. All power. I don't know if you guys can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, we can hear you now, brother.
Okay.
We can hear you, brother.
Go ahead, bro.
All right, can you hear me good, better now?
Much better. Come on with it.
Come on with it.
All right. Awesome. All righty. Yeah, my name is Alameen. And I didn't get a chance, and I will be honest to you, I just called in, so I didn't get a chance to hear the subject of the dialogue tonight. And I just wanted to know if you guys could, just for a new caller that's just calling in, that would like to hear you guys, could you tell me the dialogue tonight?
Brother, tonight, go ahead, Brother Tutmos.
we were covering medical apartheid and genocide episodes throughout the history of African people, not only in the United States, but on the African continent. We covered experiments in Nigeria, in Zimbabwe, in South Africa, in Namibia. We focused on the, if you ever heard the story, the book is called The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, who was an African woman in the United States whose cells are still now being progenerated around the world in cancer research studies.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about the sterilization of African people in Namibia. So what we were doing was just recounting the history of medical apartheid. We ain't even in the commentary here now. Afterwards, we're going into the coronavirus. But in the report earlier, I didn't even focus on that. I just focused on all those genocidal medical episodes throughout the history of African people here recently.
So in a nutshell, we've been dealing with medical murder, medical apartheid.
Medical murder, medical apartheid.
Do you have a comment on this, brother?
Yes. I have, me and my colleagues, we have been doing a lot of research on this matter, especially in the medical field. And I don't want it to sound daunting, you know what I'm saying, but and when I do, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, say this here, it automatically, you know what I'm saying, turn stomach sour. But I am Dr. Alamin Muhammad, and I've been trying to speak these things to us. And the sad part about this whole thing is that I understand what was to come out of this thing, but it didn't have anything to do with trying to minimize the sequence or the gene or the black man or the black woman. This is something greater. This is something bigger than the black picture, because they know for a fact that they can never take us out, and they know for a fact that they can never extinct us. They know that by just genetical traits, genetical laws, that we would never be extinct, because we are the original man and the original woman on the planet, and you can't distinct us. So
I say,
because you have a lot of people today that is waking up, and you have a lot of people today that is fighting against, you know what I'm saying, powers to be that are trying to take away their norms and trying to take away their freedoms and their rights. This virus that I was telling people, I say, especially in the medical field, that if we want to get a grasp on this, and we trying to get a grasp on this, then we must start with the origin. We have to start with the origin, and not only start with the origin of it, but we must go into the history of where in which the origin arrived from. So we know that the origin of it arrived out of the Wuhan lab through the genetics and the modification, and also through gain of function, right? But
right.
As I was telling my colleagues, I say, I want y'all to watch these videos. I want you guys to watch these videos, because if we're going to learn anything, then we have to start, you see what I'm saying, not only at the origin, because they still have not found the origin of where this virus has originated from. All viruses have an origin, whether it be from an animal, whether it be from crossing over from an animal into human DNA, or from human DNA into an animal, where there is no origin of human DNA or DNA crossing over into the human DNA in this virus. So I say, well, we have to go back, and we have to go back to the drawing board then. If there's no basis or no origin of where this virus came from, then we have to look at the experiments that was going on in 1945. We have to literally watch these videos of the experiments that was going on in 1955, where Japan and China
created a virus that damn near almost wiped off millions of people in their country, right? And then
right.
when once we look at that in 1945 and see what happened in those times in 1955, and nobody has to understand this now because we're living in 2020 and we're like, well, what that got to do with us? It has a lot to do with us because, first of all, the thing that we have to understand and that we must understand is that science and technology don't stop based on the basis of people being born on the planet. The science still goes on. So this science has been going on since 1945 up to 1955 and 1958. And so what I'm saying
Brother Aleem, are you aware that Dr. Abdul Ali Muhammad exposed that Charles Lieber, even before the 40s, that Charles Lieber at Harvard extracted the body of the soldiers from the from the 1918 from the that had the Spanish influenza and that was part of what you're speaking of because Charles Lieber extracted the bodies of these soldiers who were infected with the Spanish influenza and that was part of the gain of function use that they were using at Wuhan as well. So even further back than the 1940s.
That's right.
Go ahead, brother.
That's right. And so this thing just what
and I want to follow up with you, brother, because I know what you're talking about.
And like I tell my colleagues that evolution is real. Like evolution is real. It doesn't matter if it's evolution of crime. It doesn't matter if it's evolution of viruses. If you do not put an end to it, only thing it's going to do is just spread, right? So we have seen what happened in the 1960s when they put drugs in the neighborhood and guns in the neighborhood. It didn't never stop. They didn't stop it. So it only evolved and it spread it to what we see and what we're faced with today as far as crimes in America because it was never put to an end. And so the same thing with those researches that you're talking about. It was never put to an end. So the only thing that could happen is that evolution in time and over time will cause it to spread. And what we have and what we're facing today is a course of over time of evolution of medicine or whether it's science or whatever they call it, technology, that was never put to an end that has spread it. So what America did now, what America did, if you notice what America did, America shut down their labs of gain of functioning, right? And so now we had to go outside of America because they started shutting them down in Texas. They started shutting them down in Virginia. They started shutting them down in West Virginia and Kentucky. The
North
labs
Carolina.
Again, in America. And then so they couldn't perform those acts in America. So they had to go out to foreign sources, right? So here you go with this man named Dr. Fauci, supposed to be in the medical field, one of the greatest doctors. But to us, we know him to be
Dr.
one
Dill.
Of the greatest demigods that has ever come on the planet. You see? And
right.
so so what he did was, because that operation could no longer happen in America, in Wuhan, because one of the labs in we're not talking about the Republic of China. We're talking about the commercialization of centers of China when they began to do these functionings and do these discoveries. America, even though they, you know what I'm saying, was at conflict with the Republic of China, they was never at conflict with the commercialization cities and areas of China. So this Wuhan lab happened to be a part of one of the United States military labs in Wuhan. You see what I'm saying? And so the functioning and the study, the research continued. And then I don't know if you guys know, but 4 years ago, there was a major article, not only a major article, but there was a major university study called gene splicing and virus splicing, how to splice a virus and not only splice that virus, but how to add unto that virus, which they call gain of functioning, to cause that virus to be more potent than it has ever been. So they stopped that research in America, and one of the military labs that they do have, and I'm not going to tell a lie, is not in the Republic of China. Just the same way you got the Republic of America, and then you got the United States of America Incorporated. Those are two different aspects of America. You see what I'm saying now? Those are two different aspects. You got the commercialization of America, and then you got the Republic of America. So do you have the Republic of China, and you also have the commercialization of China.
The capitalistic side of China, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And they were doing these things, and it wasn't meant to destroy the black people. It really wasn't, you guys. It really wasn't to destroy black people, because we are more powerful all around the world and all upon the earth that you cannot stop the original man and the original woman, you see what I'm saying, on the planet. We are here forever. So it wasn't about us.
But that doesn't mean that they won't try. They've tried, even though this is their evenness of them. They do try. This is why this vaccine that they're putting out is a gene modification.
Mm-hmm.
A gene modifier. Mm-hmm. It's not a vaccine.
That's right.
It's modifying your RNA,
right.
Messing with your RNA. And it also
mRNA. That's right. Modified genetically mRNA, which is a genetically modified version of a strand of genetic information. You see what I'm saying? Whether it be HIV or Ebola. It can get into your system, you see what I'm saying, and cause your system to go out of whack and out of function. That's mRNA. So what I'm saying is, this right here, and this is all I'm just saying, and I just wanted to call you guys in and just let you guys know this right here. As the men and women on the earth wake up, you see, wake up. As the men and the women, sons and daughters of God on the planet, wake up. You have dark brothers of darkness. We are the brothers of light. We are the sisters and brothers of light. And you have dark brothers of darkness. You see what I'm saying? That as they know that as we are waking up and becoming righteous, that which is in us, which is called life, which is called God, and we're becoming closer to that which is in us, and we're obeying that voice, and we're listening to that voice, and we're seeking that face, they're doing everything in their power to try to prevent us from doing that, right? So now, guess what? Guess what's happening then? See, what's happening is you got many people of different ethnic races and ethnic cultures that are waking up all over the earth that they got to put men back to sleep. And so what they have done is they didn't sit back and sit aside and say, well, we're just going to create this thing right here so we can mess up the black man gene. No, they created this thing so we can mess up everybody's gene.
Right.
That's right.
Yep.
Two-thirds of the population.
I wanted to follow up with one aspect of what it is that you said, brother, because it's something I know about. It's called Operation Cherry Blossoms at Night.
Yes.
And when you understand about cherries and about Japan and about how that plays into their culture. Cherry bombs. You heard of cherry bombs, right?
Yes, sir.
So in Japan, in 1945, there was a plan developed by the biological warfare section. It was called the Unit 731. And Unit 731 was out of, the Chinese military had taken over China at this time, right? And it was created by the Chinese military. But they were in Harbin, China, when it was created. They were part of Chinese-occupied Manchukuo for researching biological and chemical warfare and human experimentation. During the second, there were three wars between the Chinese and the Japanese. The second Sino-Japanese war, the Japanese had a case bubonic plague, cholera, smallpox, botulism, anthrax, and diseases into bombs, which they routinely dropped on Chinese combatants and non-combatants. And when you look at the International Symposium of Crimes of Bacteriological Warfare, the number of people killed by the Imperial Japanese Army during warfare and human experiments was around 580,000.
That's right.
During the first few months of the war, against the United States. Following the attack on Pearl Harbor, Japan planned to use biological weapons against America.
That's right. That's right.
During the Philippines campaign in 42, the Japanese considered releasing 200 pounds of plague-carrying fleas, about 150 million insects, in each of 10 separate attacks, but the Americans surrendered at Bataan before the plan was implemented.
Mm-hmm.
Around November 1942, the Americans and the British surrendered about four times to the Japanese. They surrendered at Bataan. They surrendered in Cambodia. They surrendered. What was the death march? The Japanese took the British on a death march where, when they started off, it was 80,000 troops, and by the time they marched through the jungle and made them build this railroad, there was only 16,000 British left.
That's right.
So because the Japanese and them grew up in this tropical environment and knew about mosquitoes and knew about this kind of warfare, they were more advanced than the Americans and Europeans. But because they worked with the Germans, and the Germans were advanced in warfare and biological warfare and all sorts of sciences, they were able to advance that plan. And now you see, as with all the other things I said during the report, the United States inheriting that. I grew up in Florida.
And they did inherit it. They did inherit it. Japanese and China made a deal with them, say, hey, look, after they dropped that atomic bomb or whatever they dropped on them, you know what I'm saying, those two bombs, when Japan surrendered and many of those in China surrendered, they said, hey, we'll cut a deal with you. Let our scientists go. And we'll hand over you the research and all the information and all the research that was done if you can just let them go, right? So being that happened so, and it happened so, you see what I'm saying? And it was never an end to the stop to it. America only furthered the research. But because they no longer could do the study and the research in America, you see what I'm saying, in 2019 and 2018 and 2017, they said, well, what we would do then.
2012, actually, got shut down in 2012.
And they said, what we'll do then is we'll go to our counterparts, Japan, China. We'll go to our counterparts. And what we would do is we will already take the research that has already been studied upon, because don't nobody understand this thing. And like I keep telling people, there was a such thing called SARS before the SARS-1 virus. We never had these type of mutations. We never had this thing called the COVID-19 disease from the SARS-1. So here they go with this game of functioning to make this SARS-1 more potent than it ever was,
SARS is the South Asian. That's what SARS said. South Asian respiratory.
Right. The SARS is MERS.
And then they had MERS, Middle Eastern respiratory.
That's right.
You can y'all understand now what's going on and what's happening? Like, I can continuously writing these reports and telling my colleagues and sending these reports up, because, see, like, I had to fight a great fight just a couple weeks ago, a great fight. And one of the fights that I fought, I wrote a great report, a long report, and I sent it out to the White House. I sent this report out to our governors. I sent this report out to the scientific and the medical field. How in the world and who gave OSHA and the CDC the right to demand us and force us into taking a vaccine?
We see now, brother, that this is, as I said earlier, and the brother mentioned earlier, this is for population annihilation of the planet. It is for population, and this is the global elite. It is a global conspiracy. The G20.
What they once tried to do to their own countries, now they're trying to do to the rest of the world.
Correct.
So,
brother, what I want to do, I have your information. I want to give you my direct email, and that is nbppnationalchair@gmail.com. nbppnationalchair@gmail.com. And we would like to bring you on another day, perhaps on a Friday or a Saturday. We can give you more time to lay this out. I would like to review the information that you forwarded. On Wednesdays, we do the Your Immunity Project, where we play the full 2 hour, because Dr. Eileen, the Your Immunity Project, they're doing a constant research and disseminated information. And that generally plays for 2 hours, so we don't get to discuss. But we follow up on Fridays and Sundays on things that our special presenters present through the week. So Brother Tutmosis and Carr with Akiba Lunt News did this special report tonight on what's going on with this history of medical murder and medical apartheid. And we want to invite you, brother, to come back on, and we'll expand on this. And also nbpp.org, that's the easy way. But to send that report to NBPP National Chair
at
gmail.com.
Can I ask you a favor for me? Right?
Go ahead, brother.
I called in, right? So therefore, you guys should automatically have like a digital, you know what I'm saying, profile of my number calling in.
I see your number. I'm looking at it.
Do me a favor. Please take my number down, okay? Because I'm a whistleblower and I'm in hiding and I'm separated from my family right now because of that situation. So my family is in
problem,
a remote
brother.
Location.
I have your information.
And I am also in a remote location. But if you can do that for me, because I can't disclose it, you know what I'm saying, and I can't really send an email, you know what I'm saying, because right now I am blowing the whistle.
However you can do it, brother. That's encrypted or whatever. I will forward the information to you. And thank you so much for coming out and affirming, confirming, and adding to tonight's discussion. Black power.
Black power.
Right on.
And so,
but it's the most.
So and so, it is incumbent upon us. As I always say, see, there's certain things that are threads through everything. And one of those things is organization. Organization is the glue that unites any particular effort. It don't even have to be about liberation. If you just some old ladies in the church and y'all ushers trying to see how to get people in the house of God, that takes organization. And on the level of where we are, there are some questions that we have to ask ourselves. You know, it's those two questions, really. It's repatriation or revolution. And in coming series of Akiba Lunt News, we'll be going into the exploration of that, because we're about solutions here, so we have to figure out what it is that we have to do. And we must open up our options to ourselves. The process of repatriation, which is still open to us, The pandemic has not stopped Marcus Garvey's dream from going forward. And we must put that into the consciousness of our mind at this particular time. This is my conclusion in regard to bringing forward these examples of medical apartheid and Frankensteinian elimination of African people across the globe. Pan-Africanism or perish. Good God, Dr. Clark. I wasn't even thinking about this shit when you said that. But you told us, Pan-Africanism or perish. Either we come together as a united body of people, or we go out of business as a people. And now we see these people ain't bullshitting with us. Yeah. They're going to catch a lot of crackers and Indians and Asians and all that stuff too, but I don't care about them. I know particular focus efforts towards elimination. You know, when he get a cold, we get the flu. The genocidal activities of capitalism across the globe have now condensed themselves into a robotic, biological, pharmaceutical, corporate structure of elimination. And it's selective. Sister Crystal and I, inshallah, next week will be bringing you a report on the dynamics, the different dynamics of the proliferation of this little hiccup of this original biological. And it's so funny that the worldwide pandemic that we're experiencing, we tried to stop before, and we're going to have to stop it again. As the Moors, we went up into Europe, we told the crackers, stop sleeping in the damn house with your chickens and your goats and your pigs and shit. When the shit, the something go up in the air, you're breathing in your nose, and you got to take a bath and put on some clothes. This is the origin of what it is that we're experiencing. This is the uncleanliness. This is the troglodyteness. This is the Cro-Magnon man at his best. This is his greatest weapon, his diseased self, and what he is able to create off of it. He is the virus. You remember the Matrix? Man, you're a virus, and we're the exterminator. As I said earlier in my report, man, go back to Dr. Collin. You kill the men, you kill the women, you kill the children, you kill the babies, you kill the blind, you kill the crippled, crazy, faggot, lesbian, all of them. And those are sociological diseases, mental and nationalistic tendencies and programs that they have proliferated against us. But I don't see when you got that Nation of Islam background, then you know, I can conjure it up in my mind to a degree. But I never really thought about the fact of these people being the proliferation in of themselves on the planet of viral and physiological distortion. You know, I'm a revolutionary, so I always think about first I need Africa to be free. And then, you know, I can imagine in the back of my mind, after Africa is free, you know, Sister Crystal is like, what do we do next? You know, we some imperialistic Africans now. Should we let them live? Do we need to spend all of our military and economic resources on the elimination of the European continent and the people that exist therein, that they're spread all over the world in their capitalistic endeavors? Or should we build up our continent? That's the question. It's Shakespearean. My first mind says, man, put everything in it and go and get every last one of them. wipe the planet. That's the only way to get rid of the virus. You know, it's like, once again, Dr. Collins said, when this young black man and young black woman get through this pandemic, when this young black man and young black woman's mind is free, even if they're not prepared on that day, I bet when their babies are born and they read about how they were free before to a degree, and now their lives are controlled to the point where when they're born, there's a chip put into them immediately. I bet when those babies, when they're able to escape and learn how to cut that chip out of them and be free and have their own mind, I bet when those children band themselves together, they were killed. And I was going back and forth over the question, right? I bet those children, they won't ask themselves that question. They will systematically put whatever means of electronic military armature that they have in the air, from drones and improvised devices. They won't ask themselves whether they should go all out in warfare and sacrifice their very lives for this, which we are in debate over today. Those beautiful, beautiful children. Can you imagine them? You see them. You see their smiling, black, dark African faces. You see their muscled and chiseled bodies of these young men who grow up in swamps and forests and just waiting for the day to extinguish imperialism. Glory. Glory to those children. We pour libation to our ancestors, but we must remember to pour libation to them too, because they are our ancestors and they are our liberation. They're waiting. They're there. You see them, Sister Crystal? You see how beautiful they are?
Black power.
No question. Just born and like some African Spartan, just trained from day one to fight. Completely trained, all means, technologically, spiritually, political education-wise, technologically. We must create them. We must train the ones who are here to be it and birth those who will be those ones who will bring about those liberation. It is on the consciousness of those who have the ability to imagine it and write about it and sing about it and talk about it. Because like another thing that Dr. Collins said, when a thought strikes your mind and touches your heart to the degree that you release it from your lips, it changes the atoms and the molecules of the atmosphere to shape the reality that you have spoken. I say to you, children, I await your return. I say. Sister Crystal?
Black Power, you have listened to another powerful episode on the Tuesday night with our combat reporter, Brother Tubmo Sankara. We thank him for presenting a very informative segment of our Keep It On News. We thank all of the callers who called in, everyone that's listening across the globe. We want to remind you to go to our website to support the New Black Panther Party and its broadcast at www.nbpp.org. If there's any information that came across that you want to follow up on or add to, send us a system email at nbpp.org. And if you're interested in joining, that is indeed still the site, www.nbpp.org. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday, same black time, same black channel, as next week, Brother Tutmose and I will lay out some very important information that you are going to be able to utilize as we're dealing with this pandemic. Also, tomorrow night, be sure to listen to the Your Immunity Project special. We will be giving the updates from Dr. Aleem and his team of doctors and researchers. On Thursday night, we'll have Brother Eugene Telford come on to give the new African business report, and Brother Greg will kick his program off on Fridays. And you know, of course, on Sunday and Monday, we have Brother Malik Mama. So much information has been laid out. It is up to you to do your research. Our special guest host, Brother Tutmose, laid out a lot of info. Black Power. So go and share this broadcast on demand. It will be available on demand immediately after this program ends. Be sure to share it. Go to blogtalkradio.com/the new Black Panther Party, and you will see. On the 29th, we're coming up on our 1,000th episode. It's going to be a very special program. One episode, Black Power. We are now up to 642,000 listeners. Our viewership and our listenership is growing globally. We ask you to continue to support Black Power.
Black Power.
Signing off.